Welcome to Sermons from Iceland, a podcast that highlights the most recent sermons from Lofstofan Baptista Kirka, a Bible-based church in the Reykjavik, Iceland area. Pastor Gunnar Ingi Gunnarsson and the ministry staff at Lofstofan are grateful that you are joining us for today's study in God's Word. As a supplement to your weekly routine of meeting with your local church to worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. The following was recorded on Sunday, March 17, 2024. Today's message title, How Do I Study the Bible?
Last sermon, we just ended on talking about growing up in the faith and that you are called to become teachers in one way or another. But many stay as these kind of dependent children. They stay living off the milk of someone else. Someone takes in the meat, they digest the meat, and they give it to you plainly and simply. And a lot of people, they end up there. They start coming to church. Maybe they know Christ, and all of a sudden they just stop over there, and they never outgrow the infant stage. And we know that, man, infants are cute, right? Infants are super cute, especially if you don't have to wake up at 3 a.m. and help them. If you can just pawn them off to the parents. But man, it's not cute anymore when you got a 20-year-old in diapers, right? You know, there's something went wrong somewhere along the way. So we talked a little bit about that. And I figured it'd be good for us to dive into just, okay, if we're not supposed to, if this is the warning of Scripture telling us, hey, don't stay as infants living off of spiritual milk, but rather grow up so that you can start to enjoy the beef, you know, the meat of life and the faith. Then what does it look like for us to actually start to enjoy the meat? And we talked about some of, you know, before a couple of weeks ago, the power and the promise and the practicality of the Bible. And today, I hope that we get more into sort of very practical, nitty-gritty, how can I become a better student of the Bible? So that we can start to enjoy the stakes, the spiritual stakes that await us. And we can equip ourselves, and therefore we can help others who are younger in the faith or who come to the faith after us to grow up in the faith as well. So today I want to camp out on just a few verses here in the book of Psalms, and it's the longest psalm in the Bible. So the title of the sermon is just How Do I Study the Bible? And the psalm is 119:9-16. And it's basically, the subtitle would be Finding Happiness in Pursuit of God. So would you stand with me as we read the Word of God this morning? It says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. In the way of your testimony, I delight as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Amen. You may be seated. And so today we're going to try to divide this up into these different parts over here. And I know this is a lot of parts, and I know I have a reputation of taking a long time with each point, so I'm going to try to move quickly through these points. But we're going to talk about prioritize, pray, read, ask, memorize, meditate, and mobilize. So if you are here and you've just come to faith, and maybe you've been sort of reading the verse of the day, or you look at the book, I mean, some of us, right, we didn't read Harry Potter because we're Christians, you know. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, like, you look at some of these books and you're like, okay, the last time I read a book like this was never, right? And this, the word I'm going to study. So I'm hoping that these things are going to help you in how to study the Bible on a very basic level. Like, we're going to move on and we can talk about hermeneutics in weeks to come and that type of stuff. But right now, like, what if I'm just coming to faith and what does it look like to study the Bible? There are some of the things that I think we can see in the text, but also some of the things that I've experienced being a blessing in my own life. So first of all, I want to lay this foundation. Why do this at all? Why study the Bible? Well, notice in verse 14 today, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. So the reason why we come to God to enjoy Him is because of the enjoyment alone that's found in God. Now, when I was growing up, there was a lot of debate happening in Iceland. When I was growing up, Richard Dawkins just published a recent book called The God Delusion. And there were other atheists who came in, Christopher Hitchens with God Is Not Great, and so on and so forth. And I was wondering, like, what do I actually believe? And there was a lot of debate going on between Christians on one hand and atheists on the other. And I remember reading the atheistic books, looking at their arguments, and I was asking, like, I was confronted with this vision of life that seemed beautiful. Like, what is that Beatles song? You know what I'm talking about? Imagine. Is that what it's called? Imagine there is no heaven, there is no hell. Like, right? It was like that song, but in a book. Like, imagine if we could only unleash the irrational shackles of faith. Imagine the utopia that would exist. And it was sort of like this vision of life that said, man, if we just let go of the irrational shackles of Jesus or any other faith, then we're going to finally prosper as a society. We're going to flourish into a utopian society where everyone would just live in peace and harmony and health and prosperity, and everyone would just be guided by logic and wisdom, and everything would be so amazing if it was not for this disease called faith. Now, since then, at least in Iceland, the atheists won the culture, right? They gained a lot of ground in the last 20 years. I think the atheists have grown roughly 1% per year for the last 20 years in Iceland, while those who would consider them spiritual. You know what I'm talking about when you ask people, what do you believe? And they're like, well, I'm spiritual, you know. And that's gone down rapidly in those years. And here we are, now about 20 years removed from where atheism had made a lot of ground. And today we find ourselves, we're facing an epidemic of hopelessness. We're facing an epidemic of depression and drug abuse like never before. Increasingly getting closer to a possible world war again. With anger and division in societies in the West increasing, and with regards to logic and reason, we are in such a downward spiral in many ways. Educationally, the kids are doing horrible at school, and to the point where, you know, we had settled terms for decades like man or woman, and now people are asking, what is that? And I look around and I believe it is due to us going farther and farther from the light that only God has. And the problem with that is that if we run away from the light, darkness takes over, right? If God is our source of light, we run away from Him and there's nothing but darkness. If He is our source of light, life, we run away from Him, there's nothing but chaos or death that will take over. And as we step farther and farther away from God's wisdom, confusion starts to flourish. And I'm not going to be hyperbolic. I don't want to be the type of preacher who says, we need the church like never before. And there have been some horrible times in not only church history, but all of human history, probably worse than that. And this is definitely not the first time where the church is finding itself in a post or even pre-Christian time. Like, you read the New Testament and you remember, oh, they're living in a society that isn't Christian, right? They are definitely the minority over there, but we've gotten so used to living in Christianized societies, and now it's becoming a problem for us. So this is it's not the worst time in human history. I won't be that hyperbolic, but I will say that we as Christians, we need to be grounded in truth, and we need to be grounded in hope and faith, and we need to give that truth, and we need to give that hope and that faith to people around us, because people around us are struggling, whether they show it or not. And this is for our delight. Notice what he says here. He's talking about the Bible. All of Psalm 119 is talking about the Bible. What does he say? in the way of your testimonies, I delight. So before we go into studying the Bible, I want to lay the foundation. Like, this is actually for your good, for our flourishing, for our delight, to find our delight in the only one who can truly give it to us. This is for our delight. And we have a call to share this delight with the people around us as ambassadors of Jesus in an age of increasing godlessness. And rather, I was just praying with my brother over here. He was talking about the darkness in the world, right? And we have two choices. You can stand there and you can curse the darkness, or we can light a candle. And if we are to light the candle, if we are to be ambassadors of Jesus, we need to know who Jesus is and what his word says. Like, if someone is here in Iceland, and let's say they are an ambassador for the United Kingdom, can you imagine them doing a good job if they had no idea what the United Kingdom stood for, what the government there wanted? Like, That's how a lot of us approach the Bible. Like, oh, I'm supposed to represent Jesus, but I'm not going to spend time getting to know who he is through his word. And so let me say this. You're called to be an ambassador. So for that to happen, we need to know him. And to know him is our ultimate delight. So it's an uphill battle that we find ourselves in. But we have to remember this. We cannot crave victories without knowing that before victories, they first require battle and hard work. So if you want to join in this amazing work, then let me say this. We should give up on the pursuit of happiness, right? There's a famous movie called that. There's, you know, the U.S. is all about that. Hello, Americans. We have the right to pursue our happiness, right? We should give up on that. And don't get at me right yet, Americans. But rather, we should find our happiness in pursuit of God. That's what I want to propose to us today. And all that said, leading to our first point, which is, then we need to prioritize God and his word. So how do we study our Bibles? Well, first, we need an opportunity. We need to not wait for opportunities to spend time in the word, but rather we have to make time to be in the word. We have to fight for time to be in the word, to prioritize being with God through his word and in prayer. Now, I think most of us have taken flights in our life, right? And most of us are now ignoring all the safety precautions. Like, if the plane goes down, then just remember to huddle up. It's like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. If the plane is going down, it's probably over. No, but here's the thing. What do they tell you? If the air pressure drops in the cabin, what are you supposed to do? Put it on yourself first, and then you start to help the other people around you. Because guess what? If you say, I'm going to be selfless, I'm going to focus on other people first, you're going to lose consciousness, and you won't be helping at all. You will be a problem for other people to try to help care of you. So if we are to help the people around us, we need to first make sure that we ourselves have oxygen. And the psalm here in verse 10 in chapter 119 says this: with my whole heart I seek you, let me not wander from your commandments. He's saying, I want to seek you with my whole heart, and please don't let me leave this source of oxygen, this source of life. If I'm to be any blessing to the people around me, I first need to make sure that I have something to give and that I'm not just lifeless there. With my whole heart, I seek you, he says. Let me ask this question. Can we half-heartedly seek God with our whole heart? Of course not. But let's be honest. Maybe some of us read this and we say, that can be a prayer for me. But I've had periods of my life where I couldn't say that without being a liar. If we were to describe our pursuit of God through his word, there would have been a period in our lives where if we would rewrite this verse, it might have sounded something like this. If I have time, I will seek you. Help me not spend too much time on TikTok or whatever else, and I'll give you a few moments before I doze off to sleep. the fight for fresh vision for our life, a refreshed soul, to get us to a point where we can actually be a benefit to the people around us starts before we even open up the Bible with the question, are we going to prioritize the Word of God and fight for the Word of God? Someone said, if you don't plan, you plan to fail, right? And us Icelanders hate that because none of us plans at all. But let me tell you this. There are social media algorithms. There are marketing firms. There are businesses and apps and people and work and responsibilities that are all fighting for your attention. If you decide to just see where this goes, there will never be a moment in your day, unless there's some kind of giant EMP that cuts off electricity, that you will not have a moment to where you just have nothing to do. As long as you have a phone in your pocket, right, with access to all of the world's entertainment, you will always have something to do. So if you're going to do something that is worth your time, worth your effort, you have to be willing to fight for that. You will have to grab that oxygen mask and put it on yourself. But will we decide to fight our way to the oxygen mask that would not only let you handle all the other responsibilities that we have, but also inform you on how you can enjoy the rest of your life the right way? To give up the pursuit of happiness that others want to be on and instead find our happiness in the pursuit of God, because we have a lot of unhappy people making their lives revolve around pleasure. And the thing about pleasure is that it's pleasurable for a moment, but then it's gone. And there's a lot of unhappy people, even though their entire life revolves around getting the next pleasurable moment, not realizing that they need to be focused on purpose, and only one who can give them purpose is their creator, and that's God. And where do we find his word revealed? It's right here, sitting on a lot of shelves. Right? Because having this book does not mean that this book has you. Like, we live in a country, I think someone told me, we have 1 million Icelandic Bibles that have been printed up until this point. If you're wondering, we have coming up on 400,000 people living here. We have something like 2.5 books, Bibles per person in this country. And yet those books don't have the people. They never crack this open. And out of 100 people, 99 of them would probably never crack this book open. They will all be looking at weirdos like you, the Jesus freaks, saying, I'm going to look at their life. I'm going to see how they behave, what they say. And we'll see if there's anything maybe worth looking at in this book. Out of 100 people, 99 will not be reading this book. They will be reading you. And if that is the case, we so desperately need to be with God and to be able to show him, to know him. Because we live in a society full of unhappy people who live for pleasure, and yet they have no purpose. And my prayer as I was thinking about this is, God, would you help me and would you help us find joy in going to bed tired because we've spent all of our energy that you gave us for that day doing what our purpose giver has given me to do. Going to bed satisfied and tired that I spent my energy well, my focus well. And the world will give you pleasure in many ways and forms, but only your creator can give you purpose that will lead to lasting joy. So before we even read our Bibles, we have to fight for time to read our Bibles. And then I would say, pray. Next thing we need is so desperate, is we need to pray in a few different ways. First, pray what you lack. Right? You might be reading that verse with me saying, with my whole heart, I seek you. And it's like, that is not a descriptor of me. Well, that is a good prayer request. God, would you make this me? Would you make me this way that I would seek you with my whole heart? So you don't see yourself in verse 10, then that is a great prayer request. As you read the Bible, you can you can be transformed in that way. Secondly, pray that God would give you the focus to be the type of person who is not in the pursuit of happiness, but rather finding happiness in the pursuit of God. And thirdly, before you even crack open your Bibles or you fire up your Bibles on your apps, on your phone, maybe pray a similar prayer that we see in our text today. In verse 10 and verse 12, we see this. He says, "Blessed are you, Lord, teach me your statutes." I love that, because what is he doing? He's praising God. Praise God and plead with him to teach you his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray that God would help you understand his word and be transformed by his word, rather than to seek to take this book and bend it to your will to say what you would like it to say. Now see how he starts the prayer. Blessed are you. Remind yourself, when you're coming to the scriptures, you're about to dig into the treasures of heaven from the Lord, and ask him that as you read his word, that you would not only read it, but that this word would read you, correct you, encourage you, give you the wisdom that you need to grow. And pray that God would help you learn from him and not just read through sort of the 21st century cultural lenses, wherever you may be from, to actually understand, okay, God, what is it that you were communicating to the people back then? Can I understand it in that way? And how does that apply to my life in the here and now? Let me tell you, you may not realize this, because this is the nature of filters, right? You have a bunch of cultural filters that you bring to the text that you may not realize. So ask God, God, before I even open this word, do you remind me that you are creator and I am creation? Remind me of the privilege that it is, because here's the thing. God didn't have to reveal himself to us. God didn't have to send his son to die for us. None of us deserve a savior, and yet here we are singing about our savior, Jesus Christ, because of his grace. And God could have just simply created this world and said, well, let's see what these people will do. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to reveal anything to us, and yet here we are and have an access to this word. And by the way, if you take this for granted, let me just tell you, there's one moment where I was talking with a brother in the church who just ran from a country where he could be killed for becoming a Christian. And he got here to Iceland, and we got some Bibles in his language to give to the people around us. And it just touched me so much when I heard him say, is it legal for me to give this out to other people? I was like, that's never a question I've even wondered. Yet here I'm thinking about days that I neglected to spend time in the book, to be in awe over the fact that God would reveal himself at all. And even if he did, that I would have a copy of his word. How often have I approached this book without any awe? Just feeling obligated to spend some time in this book without starting out by blessing God. God, you are creator and I am creation, and somehow you have revealed yourself in your word. I think we need that sometimes. How many times have I read this like I read homework assignment in school? Lastly, pray to have an encounter with God through his word, so that we would not only have informed heads, but transformed hearts and eager hands to put into practice what he gives us to do. Now, after talking to the Lord of the universe, open up your book. Open up the Bible. This is his word revealed to us. And we get to the third point today, which is to read. Now, it's like a pastor's thing, right? It's basically my job description. If people are doing bad, is to first ask, how's your time in the word and how's prayer? It's like what every pastor does. How is your time with God? And the reason, let me tell you, is not because there's a conspiracy, like pastor schools is like, this is how we do our thing. It's like, no, it's because there's genuine fruit in a life that spends time with God, right? That's the reason. It's not to hit you in the head with it, like, oh, you should be ashamed of yourself. It's to say, no. Like, I'm not going to fix you. No one else is going to fix you. You have access to the Lord of the universe. like Mo opened up our service today and she said, what, like we have access to the throne of grace. Like because of our high priest, he has flipped over tables for us to come to him. How awesome is that? But often as I've asked those questions, I've been told by people, well, Gunnar, I can't read. I have ADHD, I have dyslexia, I have no attention span, I have no self-control. If Netflix is around, I can't read. And I've asked this question, and I want to ask you this question, if you might be in here, and it might be genuine, you might not be able to read. In that case, we have some great things for you to know. But let me start by asking you this question. If you're in here and saying, okay, I would love to spend time in the Word, I just can't read. Let me propose a question to you. If I came to your house after service today with a whole box full of papers printed from top to bottom, probably thousands of papers, and I put it there, well, not me, let's say a lawyer did this. And they said, hey, you had an unknown relative who died. And I can't be sure of this, but there is a possibility that in that box of papers is one paper that grants you 1 billion kronars in an inheritance. But I'm not going to find it for you. I'm just going to leave this here. You do with it what you want. How many of us don't know how to read that? It's like, I will do whatever I have to do to get to know what's in that box of papers. I will spend day and night just reading slowly, meditating on this like law, jumbo, mumbo jumbo going on in this. Like I will find a way to see if I have 1 billion kroners in that box. But you might be in here and you're like, no, I genuinely wouldn't. I would have to get someone else to come and help me with this. Like I would figure out a way. But for those of us who say, man, yeah, I get it. This is the fountain of life and all that, but I just can't read. How many of you could not read in that scenario? And some people genuinely can't read, but a lot of people, I think what the problem is for us is reading has less to do with our ability to read and more to do with whether or not we see value in what we read, right? If I say 1 billion kronars, there's value there. You know what you can do with 1 billion kronars? Well, probably not. It's a lot of money. Like I can't even fathom what you could do, but you could buy up streets and not just a home and, you know, that type of stuff. But when you see your Bible, what do you see? Do you see value? Do you see this as the very word of your Creator who loves you, who knows what He created you for, who has promises that in this is actual delight? Okay, it might not contain money, but in there, there's the key to eternal life. There's true wisdom for everyday life. There's hope and joy for life in the here and now and eternity to come. Do we see that value? And when we say, man, I just can't read, is it the problem that we actually can't read, or is it the problem with we don't see value in reading? Now, if you genuinely can't read in here, I have great news for you. So did most people for the first 1500 years of church history. You're not a lower class Christian because you can't read or anything like that. For the first 1500 years of the church, almost no one had a personal Bible like this at their house. The church would gather and they would read the Bible. Can you imagine? What are you doing tonight? I'm having Timothy read the Bible to me. That's what I'm doing tonight. I'm listening to Timothy. That's it. No, not on YouTube, just listening to Timothy there in person read to me. And it was on scrolls, and then later it was on codex, but that's how a lot of people would understand the Word of God. They would hear it read to them, it would inform their heads, it would transform their hearts, and they would go into their week thinking, how do I live in light of this? Like you see this in Scripture in 1 Timothy 4:13, you says Paul, the apostle, he's writing to his protege, Timothy, and he's saying, until I come, be careful to read the Bible out loud to people. Why? Because almost no one had the Bible. And if they did, chances were they didn't know how to read it. So open up the Bible and read it aloud to people so that they can hear. teaching them to understand and obey the message about Jesus. So if you genuinely don't know how to read, or maybe you know, but you're struggling with dyslexia or something like that, just remember this, you're not alone. Like, this is a known thing throughout church history. If you can't read, I have some awesome news for you. In your pockets, you have this amazing device. It's not only spying on you and giving you advertisements for toilet paper just when you ran out. You're like, how did they know? You know, you have amazing things on this device. You have apps that will literally read the Bible to you, right? Let me tell you about some apps. You have an app called YouVersion, the Bible app, right? And you can find basically any language on earth and probably some made up languages as well. What is that Star Trek language called? Anybody know? Huh? Klingon. Yeah. Someone should check if they have that Bible version. That would be funny if they had Klingon Bible version. If you need your language on here, like Bible app, YouVersion Bible app is an amazing thing, right? And for a lot of these languages, you can press the play button and it will read you aloud the Bible. It will get a professional actor right into your bedroom as you fall asleep, just reading the Bible to you. That's amazing, right? I don't think we realize just how amazing that is. Another app is called Dwell. There you can listen to the Bible. You can choose the narrator. Sounds too British to me. I like an American. Maybe someone with a thick Southern accent. It's genuinely crazy. Like, you can just pick your narrators. You can pick music that plays behind it. If you struggle with ADHD, you're not alone. Apparently, I have it as well. Streetlights is a great app. It reads the Bible to you kind of rhythmically, and underneath is this hip-hop beat that, now, it's not for everybody. It helps me focus, though. Like, it is a genuine awesome thing. If you're going to the gym, to have a little hip-hop beat behind and reading the scripture to you, that helps me out a lot. So Streetlights, it's an amazing app. So if you genuinely don't know how to read the Bible, let me tell you this, you don't have to read the Bible. There are thousands of people out there who have already read it for you, recorded it, and for a lot of it, it's free. So, and you, if you speak Spanish, you probably have YouVersion Bible apps that will read the Bible to you as well. In Icelandic, you can play the Bible as well. So, hopefully we stripped away all excuses. Like, you literally have hip-hop beats and someone reading you the Bible. So, the next is to have a plan. You can start out with small steps, be it to read the verse of the day. If you get the YouVersion Bible app, every single day there's a new verse up there. You can start by saying, hey, I'm going to read this verse every morning that I get up, and I'm going to think about it throughout the day, and I'm going to pray about it. And if I see something in there that's convicting me, saying, I don't really have this yet, I'm going to pray about that, and I'm going to ask God to make me that way. Or if something in there reminds me of the glory of God, I'm going to go into the day, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to praise God for what he's done. Right? You can start there. That's a very simple plan. Said, I'm new to the faith. It will take random passages and throw it at you. And just say, meditate on this. And that's awesome. Next move, you can say, you know what? I'm going to not only read the verse of the day. And let me encourage you with this. If you want to read your Bibles well and understand them well, context matters. Context matters a lot. One of the worst cases of this is I saw a picture. Someone had made these like daily verses that you think through, and like each day there's a new verse. And the verse said something like this, if you bow down before me, I will give you the world. And it's like, wow, okay, I just need to bow down before God and he'll give me the world. And then you read the context, and it's actually Satan tempting Jesus, right? So that's a verse from Satan tempting Jesus, and that was one of the daily verses. So context matters, right? It matters a lot. So if you're going to read the Bible, maybe you start with a verse of the day and then you move on to say, okay, for each verse of the day, I'm going to learn the context. I'm going to read verses before it and after it to inform me about what it's actually saying. And next, you may want to say, you know what? I'm getting pretty good at this. I have a healthy rhythm going. I'm going to start reading through an entire book of the Bible. And you might just say, I'm going to give it as much time as I need, and I'm going to read this letter or this book, and I'm going to start moving my way through it. And then after every book, I'm going to pick a new one and I'm just going to work my way through it. Right. And just as a baby grows, small steps at a time, you might find yourselves months or years down the road, all of a sudden having read the entire Bible. Right. You might all of a sudden get to a point where all of a sudden reading the New Testament is not necessarily such a huge accomplishment. You can do this because you've already read big chunks of it. And if you're there, we have Bible reading plans right there in the back in the giving table. One is for the entire New Testament. One is for the Old Testament. And I hope if you want one, you can take one. It's free. We're not going to charge you anything. It's also free because it's very not impressive. It's a paper folded that we printed on. Right? But what I love to do is in there, you have boxes on how to read the entire Bible. And you cannot even follow the plan. You can just say, I want to check the boxes that I've already read to see how much of the Bible I have listened to or I have read. Whatever you do, if something is important to you, you have to make a plan for it. Just like you'd probably systematically and sort of methodically work your way through the box of papers with a possibility of a billion kronars, but say, man, think about these things. How am I going to spend time in the Word, prioritize it, to pray about it, to read it? And notice again in verse 14 in our text today, and it says, in the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. Again, put you in that scenario with that box, with the possibility of a billion kronars. Right? Do we delight in his testimonies as with all riches? If so, set a plan. It can be reading through the Bible an entire year or wherever you, maybe you want to pray each month. This is what I'm trying out this year. I'm trying out, okay, God, I want to dwell on your word. And every month I want to pick a genre that's found in the Bible. If you didn't know this, not every book of the Bible is the same, right? There are these different genres that we have. We have some books that are just pure history about what's going on and how God is working. We have some poetry. We have some wisdom. We have some prophecy, apocalyptic literature, and then we have just different letters that we can read. So maybe that's your plan. But if you want plans, they're back there. And if you want to ask anybody about a plan, man, I'm happy to give them to you. And I recommend that you keep this in mind. Sometimes you can read the Bible really fast, and it gives you an overview of the entire story arc of the Bible. Sometimes you can just slow down and start thinking about every single word that you use. Every verb, every pronoun, every action or command that's given in the text. And sometimes that, man, you just reap joyous fruit of knowing God's word in a deeper way. And there are great free tools. I don't know about a lot of you. How many of you have read your Bibles and you've walked away with a lot of questions? Right? Okay, so I recommend that you read the book of Judges then if you don't have a lot of questions. Here's the thing. Every one of us does. Right? You'll walk away like, what did I just read? And how does this apply to my life today? Here's the thing. People have had questions 2,000 years. There are free resources that will give you commentaries of people thinking about every single verse of the Bible. And there are pages and pages and pages worth of commentaries that you can read of people who know the original languages. They can explain to you what a Greek word is, or what a Hebrew or Aramaic word is, and it's awesome. One of the resources I want to recommend to you is it's called blueletterbible.org. It's a great resource where you can look into original languages. It has free commentaries and everything else. But next, when you get to the text, start asking questions about the text. God is not afraid of your questions. Do you know that? He can actually handle your questions. If you have objections, man, there are people who have had objections to this book for 2,000 years, and yet here we are studying this book. Jesus is still Lord. He is still reigning, and I promise you, there is someone else who is smarter than you, who has asked the question that you're asking beforehand, and the answers to your questions have been there for thousands of years. For most of them. Okay, granted. Most of us, we ask the same questions. So you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to say, you know what? I wouldn't want to express like the questions that I have about the faith. Every single soul in this room has had questions about the faith. And remember, We are coming to the scriptures not to know the Bible more, but rather to know God more. Right? Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said this, "You search the scriptures because you think that in the scriptures you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. And yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." If you know the Bible, but you don't get to know Jesus, the one that they are all pointing to, you are missing the entire point. You're like a person going into the eye doctor. You know that test where they tell you to like close one eye and tell you all the letters that you see? You're like that person that got all the letters right, but you just totally missed that huge E on top of the eye chart. You got all the minority, like minor things right. You just missed the entire point. That's what the Pharisees did. Some of them knew the scriptures by heart. They could recite to you all the first five books of the Old Testament. And yet when the Messiah stood in front of them, who the scriptures testify of, they totally missed the point. So when we're studying the Bible, we are remembering, I'm here to have an encounter with God. Not simply to know the Bible more, but rather to see the point, the whole point of scripture is Jesus, the author of life, the savior of the world, the one who's worth living for and the one who's worth dying for, the one worth pursuing and knowing and making known with our lives. We're here to get to know him. And how do you get to know someone? I remember when I met my wife, we were thinking about this yesterday. I asked a lot of questions. I asked a lot of questions about, man, what's your life been like, or what your preferences are, or, like stupid questions, like, you know, that have nothing to do with, like, they're of no importance. I was so curious with a bunch of questions because I wanted to get to know this woman in front of me. And yet, for a lot of us, maybe we grew up this way. Maybe it was bad for us to ask questions, or maybe we feel guilty about asking questions, but how are we supposed to know the one that the scriptures point to without asking the questions that pop up in our hearts? You see, even a question to today, like in our Psalm, Psalm 119, it starts with a question, verse 9, how can a young man keep his way pure? Anybody wondered this? Any young men in the room, or having been young men, wondered like, how is this even possible? He's asking that question, and then he's answering by guarding it according to your word. If you need some questions to ask, let me tell you this. These are here like stable questions that you can ask about almost any text that you encounter. And if you just stop and read slowly, and you read through the text, and you dwell on the Bible, and you ask these questions, you're going to get to know the God of the Bible better. What is the context of this? So if you're reading a verse, okay, what is the context of this concerning the whole Bible? This Old Testament, is this New Testament? What is the context of this verse in the book that it's in? If it's a verse from Hebrews, okay, what is he saying before this or after this or surrounding verses? This is an important question because remember, this book is written to Jewish people 2,000 years ago, right? Anybody Jewish in here? No? I think we're all Gentiles here, right? We've come to know Jesus, right? But none of us are Jewish. And even if we were, we're not living 2,000 years ago. So when you approach the Bible, you're going to ask yourself, okay, this is written to a specific group of people, to them. And you have to ask yourself, okay, how can I understand this? And this can lead you into other areas where you can nerd out, watching history, getting to know like what the society was like, what cultural practices were there. And there's a lot of that. That if you get to know like geography, even, it gives you insights into why God might say things a certain way. What does this teach me about mankind? And if you read the verses and you say, okay, what does this teach me about the human experience, the human heart, us as individuals? And then ask the question, what does this teach me about God? Contrast yourself and other people to the glory of God. What questions arise when I read this text? Or you might say, okay, what objections would I have had before coming to know Jesus? What objections might other people have? And think through how you would answer that. And then ask, how does this apply to my life today? Is there anything that I'm reading in this book that God is saying I need to change or correct about my life? Not only in what I do, but also this. Is there anything I need to change in my thinking? Right? You come across verses like, subdue every thought to the supremacy of Christ, right? And you might say to yourself, am I doing that? Now, your life might not look very different practically. You might go to work the next day and everything kind of looks the same from the outside. But if you own that and you change the way you think, your life might look very, very different. So these are like some questions. If you need these after the sermon, I've noticed a lot of phones taking pictures of this. If you need this, I can send it to you after the sermon. But I want to read this. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Actually, before I move to that, let me encourage you. If you struggle with asking questions about the text, to join a Bible study that we have. Like, we have some women Bible studies, men Bible studies. We have some in different languages. But join a Bible study. And one of the amazing things that you have there is that if you ask these questions about the text that we just talked about, even what questions arise, you might join a Bible study and realize, man, there are people asking questions that you had never thought of before. Right? And you might get to experience the joy of people in there having answers that you have never thought of before. So you're getting questions that you never thought of before and answers to those questions in a Bible study. And that's one of the great gifts of community, seeing what others see and hearing answers that others have. Let me just encourage you with that. Now let's jump into verse 11. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. The reason I want to highlight this verse is because I want to encourage you to memorize scripture. So we're almost to the end here. So from ages 16 to 19, I moved to Alabama. I went to a Bible training program. And some of you might be like, look at that nice Christian boy. No, it was not because I was a nice Christian boy. I knew my dad would probably pay for it if it was a Bible training school. And I wanted to get away from anyone and everyone who knew me and just go somewhere where I could be a nameless individual that no one knew, right? And in there, I struggled a lot. Well, because it didn't help that I was a drug addict going into a Bible training program. And honestly, as I look back, some of the classes weren't that great. But one of the amazing things that came out of that experience is, oh, by the way, Nonne was there a couple of years. Okay. Woo! One of the greatest things that I have from my time there. Did you do 3 years or 2 years? Two. So we would, every week, they would have a test for us on a Friday. And it was Bible memory verses. And you had to memorize 7 or 10 Bible verses every single week. And I hated it so much. But looking back, I'm like, man, I am so thankful for this. So I try to calculate, like, how many verses did I learn in my 3 years there? And if we assume 4 months, a semester, that's like 800 verses that you walk away with, just sort of up here somewhere. And I can't really describe it, describe the blessing that it's been to my life. And one of the things that it taught me is you can actually memorize scripture. How many of you, if you're honest with me, I tell you to memorize scripture and you're like, I don't know if I can do that. I think my brain is a bit crusty for learning new things, right? And under stress, when you know the test is coming on a Friday, you somehow learn them and it's possible. But after 3 years of that, you walked away with this sort of Bible verse memory bank that bothers you for the rest of your life. Now, mind you, I did 3 years of Bible school and I didn't turn Christian until 2 years later. So those Bible verses were just hanging over me for like a couple of years, just like, Gunnar, Gunnar, Gunnar. And here's why I think this is one of the biggest blessings of life. When I pray the Bible, Bible verses will start to pop up, right? Bible verses I'm not thinking about just pop up out of nowhere. And God uses that to speak, to correct me, to remind me of something, to help me walk on the right path. when I talk with someone who doesn't know the faith, maybe I just hear like, and it may be my ADHD kicking in, but I just like have these like Bible verses sort of jumping at me in the middle of the conversation. And you're sort of filtering through just like, would that Bible verse be good for him to read, or that one? And it's one of the biggest blessings of your life to have God just throwing Bible verses at you every single day. And it just pops up out of nowhere. And I really can't put into words what a blessing it is to memorize scriptures. And what does it say in our verse? I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. He uses his word to guide us, to lead, making it so that you can meditate on his word day and night, with a Bible or without a Bible. In fact, I remember watching a video. It was about the underground church in a country where it was illegal to be a Christian. And there weren't a whole lot of Bibles around. And I remember hearing an interview with this one Christian where the Bible was scarce. And one of the ways that the church still operated is when it got a Bible, it would separate it into chunks and it would give it out to people. And it would be like Milena, you got Genesis, memorize it. Oh my, you got Timothy. And you're like, oh, thank you. For the short one, I would get Philemon or something. You would get chunks of Bible, and the entire church knew the Bible because each person that had it had memorized a portion of it. So if they needed someone to come, what does that verse say? They had that person with them. And I remember one of the persons saying that they can take this book and they can burn this book. And I remember them talking about someone going to prison. They took the Bible away and they were so happy to say, they didn't take the Bible away. I just have more time to think about it now. And they were there with the word. And the fact is, we live in a day and age where I think we're drowning in information kind of all around us, but we're starving for wisdom. We can call out current state, our current state information overwhelm or something like that. We need to, again, be intentional about what information we give our focus to, because all information is not true wisdom. And here are some practical ways you can do this. Man, if you're distracted all the time, like I am, one of the things that worked for me, and by the way, when I was writing the sermon, I was getting convicted again. I'm like, I need to get back on track with doing this. Like some of the ways that helped me out was sometimes I would write the Bible verses on my mirror in the bathroom, or put post-it notes in the mirror. So every time you're brushing your teeth, and who knows, that is one of the most boring things you do in life is to brush your teeth, especially if you're the type of type A personality that also flosses. And we pray for you guys. No, I'm just kidding. You have a lot of time. Just stare in there in the mirror, and you can either choose to like look at your pimples, or you can memorize a Bible verse while you're doing it. One of the things I did was as well to cover up a Bible verse in plastic, tape it up in your shower. And you just have a thing going on as you're showering, you're washing off. You have 10 minutes every single day. You're just staring at this Bible verse. What else are you going to stare at? Like, you're going to read this Bible verse and you're going to let that sink in. Now, maybe you're distracted like me because of this thing over here. You can implement the rule. Now, granted, you have to make sure to follow this rule. Because again, I've done this and then I just totally forgot about the rule. You can have a Bible verse on your lock screen. And you can say, every time I'm opening up this device, I'm making a dedicated effort to read the Bible verse on my lock screen before I open this device up. And you'll be surprised how fast that seeps from your head to your heart. And you can start thinking about that Bible verse and it's in there. And so if you're just looking for some practical ways, those are some practical ways you can do that. Now we get to the very end. Notice in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Now, as we've said before, meditating in a biblical sense is not the Eastern meditation that a lot of people talk about today. It's almost the exact opposite. Eastern meditation tells you empty your mind and just focus on your breathing or something like that. Biblical meditation says focus on the truth of God. Fill your mind with the truth of God. So I want to encourage you to do that. As you read this book, read it slowly. Dwell on every word that you read. Don't, you know, sometimes read it fast to get an overview, but sometimes take breaks and just read slow and chew on the questions that you have and what you see there. look at footnotes in your Bibles to see what references are in there and what that verse is saying and how it fits in context with each other. And many Christians have found it helpful to use highlighters, especially women for some reason, right? You got some very colorful highlighted Bibles on Pinterest that I've seen. But yeah, you can put up a system with your highlighters. You can use each color to highlight specific things. Here's some things that I do is I use one color to highlight topics that I see or repeated words or phrases that I see in the text. I have another color that I highlight commands in the scripture with. What is this Bible text actually telling me to do? I realize I'm going fast because I realize I'm going long here. And then I have another highlighter where you can highlight the quotations that you see and how it connects to other parts of the Bible. And man, you can do this your own way. You can have your own system, really. You can have a highlighter like me. When I'm reading the Bible fast, I just have a highlighter that tells me, go chew on these verses a little more. Like, you have some questions, you have some thoughts, go back to this verse. Maybe it's a memory verse. You can do so many things with a highlighter that's wonderful. And I'm not going to dwell a whole lot on that. And actually, let me just say this. One of my greatest possessions is a Bible that I own from this woman right here. And my mom, so it's like, all right. I remember waking up every morning and I would see her read like her New Testament and her Old Testament. She would have highlighters. And I was like, man, I want to highlight. And I started like reading the Bible and highlighting random passages just because I wanted to highlight something. Like, this is interesting. But then I stole a Bible that my mom owned. And it's an old Bible. She wasn't using it anymore. And I have one from my dad as well, a highlighted Bibles. That's one of my greatest possessions, to see notes from my mom and from my dad on specific highlighted passages. And like, if you're a parent out there, like, this is what I want to do. Like, as my kids go into the adult years, to be able to give them a book and say, here's a highlighted Bible with a bunch of just notes and thoughts that I've had on this. Take this into adulthood. That's an amazing maybe thing to have. And now to mobilize. So we talked about meditate, but now it's to mobilize. Remember, as we read this word, it's not just to know more. It's what are we called to do in light of it? Again, he says in verse nine, he says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. What is he saying there? The point of the Bible is to actually impact the way I live. Notice in verse 13, with my lips, I declare all the rules of your mouth. What is the point there? I'm going to tell other people about this. I don't want to just know the treasure of heaven and not tell anybody else. I want to let them know. And brothers and sisters, God has created each and every one of us not to be a bucket, but a funnel. To let what God gives you flow to other people and to tell other people about it. And the point of turning to the Word of God is not to overinflate our heads with knowledge, but that it would lead to transformed hearts and eager hands willing to serve God and live in light of Him. Because we have a Savior in Jesus who died for our sin and our shame. And we have a world full of people who don't know Him. Again, it's made me, I don't know, last year, for some reason, I've had two people just die on the street in front of me. One just stumbled on the street, died. And then another one pulled his car by a roundabout and just walked out of his car and died. And I couldn't help but think, like, did they know Him? Did they know about you? They have questions about Jesus? And if they have questions about Jesus, like, was anybody involved in their life that could have answered those questions? Is there any resource in Icelandic that could have answered their questions? Like, is there anything that they could have done? And as you're like waiting there and you're doing CPR and you're waiting for the ambulance to arrive and you're praying for healing, but you're also just filled with these questions of like, who's going to tell them? Like Romans 10, it's like, how are they going to hear about the one whom no one tells them about? And how are they going to hear that? Who's going to tell them if no one's sent? And yet on Sundays when we gather like this, you are the people that God has here to tell about Jesus. Not just to go to the scriptures to overinflate our heads, but to tell others about it. We have a Savior who has given us eternal life. And we have a culture that's desperate to find something worth living and dying for. And the question for the church is, are we doing a good job of saying Jesus is worth living and dying for? Because the Pharisees knew scriptures, and yet they crucified Jesus. Some of the people who had the best theology, Christology in the New Testament, when the apostles were just totally not understanding what Jesus was there to do, who knew who Jesus was from the get-go? The demons. And they knew exactly. You come at this time? Aren't you early? Are you destroying us now? They knew exactly who he is. They knew exactly the power that he had. If we just go to the scriptures to have informed heads, but it doesn't do anything to our dead hearts, it's worthless. If it doesn't lead to hands that worship and serve God, it's pointless. The point of studying the Bible is not to understand the text better or to have dead religion, but to come to know Jesus, our Savior, and be equipped to be his hands and his feet. And that is why when we gather, we want to sing about Jesus. We want to study the Bible. We want to be informed about Jesus. We want to remember Jesus in communion and in baptism. And we want to end our services realizing that our worship doesn't stop here. It just takes on a different form. Now we're gathering. In a few moments, we're scattering. We're still worshiping Jesus. We're still his hands and his feet. So I want us to remember Christ in communion. If you're in here and you are a Christian, meaning you have placed your faith in Jesus being enough to save you from your sin, and he is your Lord of your life, then please remember Christ in communion with us. If you're in here and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus, if your plan is that either you don't believe in God or you're going to justify yourself, please do not take communion with us. Not only would we not like it, the Lord of the universe would not like it. We are remembering a crucified Savior. It would not be courtesy, but mockery to partake in communion and not believe in what communion points to. So if you're in here, I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you come to know Jesus. I hope today would be that day. But please sit this one out. If you're a follower of Jesus, come remember communion with us. As we go into this week, hopefully glorify God even more. Sorry, this was a long sermon, but I wanted to get all this out there. But let me pray. God, we love you. Thank you for coming to save us. We thank you for your word. And Father, I pray for myself and every single soul in this room that we would be confronted by the overwhelming value of your word. Father, to know that the book that we read has transformed souls and families, has transformed societies and human history. Father, I pray that as we go into this week, we would be in awe of you, that you give us a hunger and a thirst to prioritize you, to pray and remember who you are as you reveal yourself to us, to ask good questions and have good answers to the people around us who might ask us for the reason for the hope that we have. May we memorize, may we be mobilized, may we glorify you with everything that we do and say, and would you make us more like you. May we glorify you this week. May we know you more, Father. We love you. We ask that you pour out your grace upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Sermons from Iceland, a weekly podcast highlighting the Sunday teaching ministry of Lofstofan Baptiste Kirka in Reykjavik, Iceland. If you have a desire to see the gospel spread in Iceland, consider partnering with the Iceland Project. For more information, go to theicelandproject.org. If you live in Iceland or plan on visiting Iceland soon, make plans to worship with us at 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our address is Fagraþing 2A, Kópavogur, only 7 miles or 12 kilometers southeast of downtown Reykjavik. You can reach Pastor Gunnar via the Lofstofan Facebook page or by email. His address is lofstofan@lofstofan.is. Join us next week for another Bible-based and Jesus-centered message on Sermons from Iceland.